Ephesians chapter 5, we're giving the single greatest body of teaching on the family. It's important to understand, to remember, and to realize that marriage came out of the mind of God.
Amen.
Marriage came out of the mind of God. It wasn't two lonely people that said, let's get together and give ourselves one to another. It wasn't a man who wanted a woman's body, but the woman said, well, you can't have it until I know that I have you for the rest of my life. Marriage did not come from the mind of man. If it did, then man could make up what marriage was. But it did not come from the mind of man, it came from the mind of God. Man tries to make marriage what man wants marriage to be. But when man makes marriage what it wants it to be, it ends in exactly what God did not want it to be. God made marriage. He saw that there was no helpmeet for Adam. He made marriage so that one spouse could help another. Not help to do wrong, but to help to do right. And not just to do, but to become better. To become more like Christ. But when man makes marriage out to be what man wants it to be, the help to become like Christ and the help to do right ceases to exist, doesn't it? That's what happens. God made marriage so that we as the human race could be fruitful and multiply. But not just for the multiplication of the race, but for the multiplication of the glory of God. That those who believe on Christ and know that God is the Savior could have children and know the same thing. They could have children that know the same thing. But when man makes marriage out to be what man wants it to be, children often don't know anything about God, much less how to be saved. God made marriage. When marriages go through difficulty, and each one will, for its different reasons, if we were to begin by saying, God made marriage. He made marriage. We ask ourselves the question, what am I to do to begin making my marriage what God wants it to be? It would help out in so many ways. It would help out in so many ways. Today you may be here and you say, I'm not married. You may be young and have no spouse. You may be in here today and say, I'll never have one. I want you to know it's presumptuous. Almost every person who said, I'll never get married, you know what eventually happened? They did. And most young teenagers say, I don't want to be married. Today, most people don't get the urge to be married until they're in their 20s. I remember when I was in college, I said things like that, oh, I'll never get married. And I had no problem with the idea. But then I turned 23 and I was done with college and I went to work every day and came home. I said, boy, it'd be nice to be married. And I spent 3 years praying. And I praised God that He sent my wife and gave her to me. I'm glad I get to come home and my wife's there. I'm glad that she's my helper and that she's the one in whom I'm able to have children with. I'm glad that He sent. This is a praiseworthy thing. So you may be young here today and say, I'll never get married. I remember when I was young, I got saved when I was 19. I wasn't looking to get married. But there are things that I remember hearing when a preacher preached about marriage. And I remember those things, and they help you today. And so I beg you, I would beg you, if you are here and you're not married, and you think you'll never get married, that you wouldn't turn your ears off today. Because the very thing which you hear from the Word of God may be the very thing that helps you. And I bet for just about everybody in this room, if you're not married a decade from now, maybe a decade and a half, chances are you'll be married. You maybe once were married. And you say, I'm not married anymore. I'm divorced. I beg you not to turn your ears off now. You may be in your own heart like a young teenager saying, I'll never get married again, and chances are you will. And it may be that the things that are said today would help you to be a better spouse, to be what God would have you be when you get married again. The Word of God is precious, brethren. If we adhere to what God says, though it doesn't seem so, our lives will be better. Our marriages will be better. And so if you look there at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Start there in verse 25. The Word of God says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Father, may you help us to take a sobering look at our own lives. That we would admit that we have our own designs for marriage. But that we would know that you have a design for our marriage. And so today, Father, would you help us? Help me as a husband to a wife. And a father to children soon to be free. Father, help me to have upon my heart to hear from you in my heart of what you designed my marriage to be. Have your hand upon each person in this room. And we beg of you, Father, to teach us. I beg you to move within the hearts of the people of our church. We want to see you do a great work in our community. We know that the work will be stunted and the work that you want done halted if homes are not more and more becoming what they ought to be. Please help. Have mercy upon us. And bless us. Father, have your hand upon those that are hurting today, in whom this subject may bring pain. Father, may we not be easily offended. But may we believe what you say and trust you with all our heart. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Keep me from saying anything I ought not to say. But open my lips to speak everything that you would. Fill each Christian in this room with the Holy Spirit of God. That each one of us may learn what it is that you're saying. Please, Father, do these things. Bless us from heaven. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Why did you get married? Your motivation for marriage is very important. Today, if you found that your motivation for being married is not what God would have it to be, it's not too late to change your motivation. God so wants homes to be holy, filled with Him and peace. God, from the very beginning, made homes to be the going out of what He wants done. God wanted to make the home, and has made the home, the first place where His glory is and goes out. In the Old Testament, we see the Lord living in the temple of God. And all the people would come to Jerusalem to worship. Today, we have the Lord's Day, and we all come to worship. Between the time when all the people gathered into Jerusalem to worship on special days throughout the year, there were tens and tens of days in between each one of these. Where did people go to worship God when they weren't going to the temple? Where did they go? They went home. Isn't that right? That's where they went. We do not go to work to worship the Lord. I believe we ought to worship the Lord at work. But truth be told, where do we go to worship? We leave our work and we go home. That's where it happens. My son goes off to school. They don't let them worship there. It's a sad thing. But we've tried to teach him when he goes to pray and thank God for his food. He's been doing that. They don't stop when I praise God. I praise God. But when he comes home, he has an opportunity to worship. That's where people go. You say, yes, we gather together on the Lord's Day, and many of you come on Wednesdays and we worship. But where do we go to worship when it's not Sunday or Saturday or special day? Where do we go? We go home. But I tell you the truth, where there is no peace, there is no worship. And peace starts with mom and dad. Peace starts with husband and wife. And God has designed marriage so there could be a place where people go to worship. That when those who leave that place, remember what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, so will a man leave his father and mother. Where is he going to go? He's going to go to his own home. If everything has been done as it should be, what will happen in that home? Worship. Glory, honor, and praise to God. If you like to mark your Bible, I'd like you to mark in verse 27. The Scripture says that he might present it to himself. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Why did you get married? Husbands, I ask you this most pointedly. Why did you get married? If you are not married, why will you get married? God tells us. God tells us why He made Himself, made us part of Himself through marriage. He did it. Look at what it says. Starting in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. I want you to notice that verse. Husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ also loved the church. That's an amazing thing. That the God of heaven would love such a people, isn't it? But He does, doesn't He? But I want you to notice the tension in which He says it. The Scripture says, even as Christ also loved. What does the ED indicate there? A past tense love. I want you to know our love is not a feeling and how we feel towards one another, but what we do. The Lord Jesus Christ loved the church. How did He do it? He gave Himself for it. That's what He did. He gave in the past. What did He do to give Himself? He died a bloody death. Without Christ, there would be no church because He's the head. There is no body without a head. If there's a body without a head, it is dead. Nothing more than a cadaver. There are many churches whom Christ is no longer the head. The candle's gone out. It's dead. But where Christ is the head, so are things living. But He said, I loved the world and gave Myself for it. I loved the church and gave Myself for it. When Christ gave Himself, did He think, I can make myself better if I get married? My life will be better if I marry myself to the church. Or did He say, their life will be better? Whom was He thinking of in His motivation? He said, I gave Myself. It wasn't, the church is going to give itself for me. It wasn't, the church is going to serve me. He didn't say, my life is going to be a life of ease once I have a wife, once I have the church as my bride. No, He knew that His life was going to be far more difficult, wasn't it? Christ's life, He took it all. He could have destroyed us all and been righteous in doing it, but He took us on. He said, I gave Myself for Him. Why? Notice, that He might sanctify. It changes tense there, doesn't it? He gave, past tense, that He might sanctify, present tense. Why did He give Himself? So that He could presently sanctify and cleanse. Husbands, when we promise ourselves to our wife, we are not promising ourselves to a woman who will cook and clean and serve our every need. We have made such a mockery out of the design of marriage by saying that our wives' jobs are to care for us. If we're honest with ourselves, husbands, our wives are just as, probably more so, capable of taking care of themselves than we are for them. The Scripture says that the woman is the weaker vessel. What does that mean? Well, ladies cry a lot. Well, that's not it.
When a woman marries a husband, you know what she does if she's going to live within the context of the biblical model? She's saying, I'm going to put myself under his leadership. What a dangerous thing to do, isn't it? What a dangerous thing to do. What does it mean that she's the weaker vessel? She's in the weaker position. Because if we look back, the Scripture says that wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. You're saying I am to submit myself unto my husband like I would submit myself unto the Lord? That is a precarious position for men like us. If men go into marriage saying, my life is going to be better because I'm married, what an awful, awful state for the woman who we marry. Because that is not the way in which God made himself. He said, I'm going to take on to make my bride's life better. That's what he said, isn't it? Women, I hope that today you're not offended by these things. Because I am not saying in any way that you're not capable. My wife is as capable as any. There's so many ways, and she'd be more capable of leading a church than I. It amazes me sometimes what she does. She's certainly more capable of running our home. She's more capable of teaching my children. She's in a precarious situation in that she has put herself in the submitting position of a husband. And that is a weak position, isn't it? And it is an awful position. If my thought is, what can I get from my wife? Isn't that right? What can I get from my wife? How can I use her to get what I want? In my shame, I have had days where I've said such things. But that has never been the day. There has never been a day where the Lord has looked down and said, what can I get? What can I get? He said, what can I give? Why? Because he loves himself. He loves himself. And so he loves us as he loves himself. Look at what it says. This is wonderful. The Scripture says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the Word. Listen to what the Word of God says. It says, I am going to espouse the bride. I'm going to be married to her. That through this marriage, she might be sanctified. That word sanctified means set apart. When it comes between the Lord and the church, there is no one like the church. There is no greater affection that God has than he has for the church. Men, when we got married, what we promised, if we're thinking scripturally, is that there is no woman of greater esteem, including mom. You hear that? There is no woman of greater esteem in my life. No one who I look to for more beauty, more joy than my wife. She is sanctified unto me, set apart for me. That's what it says. Set apart. If a man does not have that in mind, what an awful position for a lady to live in.
What an awful position for a lady to live in. That within her home, her husband has a greater affection for another than her. And then she's got to come around, and if she's going to live according to what God says, live in subjection to that man, what a weakened position. Men don't have a greater affection for anyone. Whether it be a woman on the computer or TV or magazine or the one you're working with at work. Don't have a greater affection for any woman. It'll make it nearly impossible for your wife to live according to the Scripture. To submit yourselves unto your own husband as they do unto the Lord. It'd be almost impossible. It's amazing that I've seen ladies do it. But it's almost impossible. When the Lord said, I'm going to be a spouse to the church, He said, they're going to be my special people. They are going to be whom I have affection for. Are you saying, preacher, that God loves the church more than He loves others? Not particularly, but He loves us specially. Our God gives greater gifts to the people of the church than He will ever an unsaved person who is not part of it. There's no doubt about that. When we got saved, we became part of His family. But not just part of it, we became a son. We became a daughter, didn't we? This week, it's likely that I'll give my children something on Friday. The baby's going to be born. We've already got things to give to our other two. There's going to be other boys and girls that come into the hospital. We may get to know some other moms and dads in the hospital and get to know their children as we're there. But they won't get gifts from us. Why? It's not that we don't love them, but they're not my children. Right? When we get married, husbands, we get married not for our sake, but for hers. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Verse 27. Listen to what it says. That He might present to Himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy without blemish. Brother, I want you to know when these things are speaking about wrinkle and spots and blemishes, it is not speaking about physical things. The church does not have a physical body, does it? The church is not a building, praise God. Our building's got more trouble. I care to admit. He's not talking about those things. He's talking about sin. That's what He's talking about. He wants to present to Himself a sinless body. The Scripture says that as we as husbands and wives to their husbands are to help one another to not sin. That's what a wrinkle-free body is. Husbands, if your wives are growing in Christ, you'll have something more precious than you ever had when she was 22. You'll have something more precious if she's growing in Christ. But if there's no growth in Christ, oh, it will be a horrible thing. What are you doing, husbands, to make your wives more like Christ? What are you doing to help her? Or is it all about you? And not about your relationship with Christ, no. But what you can get from her, whether physically or cleanliness or whatever it is. What are you doing to help? When was the last time you prayed for your wife? When was the last time you helped your wife through difficulty? That you told her the truth of what the Scripture says to help her? Husband, are you a help to your wife? Are you a help to your wife?
Because if you are, she will be to you a glorious, glorious person. A glorious, glorious person. She will bring more esteem to you than any person ever could. You could go to work and do a good job and your boss say, good job, but I tell you what, your wife will do far more than that. That's what God wants in a home. The scripture says there in verse 33, it says, and wife, see that she reverence her husband. God spends a lot of time on husbands. I believe husbands need the most work. What is the wife to do? Reverence her husband. That's often been spoken, and I've heard it many times, that the word reverence means respect. But that's not it. There are many wives who respect their husbands because they fear what their husbands will do if they don't. Their husbands have big hands and big fists, and if they don't respect their husbands, it's going to be bad for them. There are wives that respect their husbands because their husbands are esteemed by others. But the word reverence there does not just mean respect. It means respect mingled. Respect mingled together with esteem. You know what that word means? That your husband to you is the greatest man that ever was. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That you have no greater esteem for another man than you do your own husband. No greater esteem for your own, for any other man except for your own husband. The trouble is, if we as husbands don't love our wives, and more so as Christ loved the church, if we are not growing in Christ and becoming what we are to be, what we're supposed to be, now, brethren, we will not be what we're supposed to be this side of heaven, but we can become more and more what we're supposed to be as we grow in the Lord. If we are not growing in the Lord as husbands, we're making it harder and harder and harder for our wives to esteem us. Our esteem is not based upon how much money we make at work. It's not based upon how many hours we work. It's not based upon how big we are or how strong we've gotten. It's not based upon any of those things. Our wife's esteem for us will be based upon how we love her as the church. Isn't that right? That's what it is. If we love her as Christ loved the church, and more, I tell you what, your wife will not think, boy, it'd be better on the other side. It'd be better on the, it's greener on the other side of the fence. That man over there makes more money, so he must be better. And many wives who say that, they leave their husbands for money. But in the end, it's not really money. It's that man, she has no esteem because she is not loved. Now, wives, I want to be clear. If your wives do not love you more and more as Christ loves the church, this verse here does not say, as long as your husband loves you more and more as Christ loves the church, then you esteem him. That's not what it says, is it? The command is that no matter who your husband is or what he does, you esteem him. Oh, I could never encourage or work towards a saved lady marrying an unsaved man. Because that would be such an awful thing for her. Because unless that man gets saved, he's got no chance of loving her more and more as Christ loves the church, does he? Not even a bit. But the chances are, he's going to get worse and worse. That's what usually happens in marriages. They just get worse and worse until finally they say, I can't handle it anymore. Let's get divorced. We've got irreconcilable differences. We're done with this. They just get worse and worse. But a Christian wife is bound to her husband and has to esteem him despite the fact that he's getting worse and worse. What an awful thing for a wife to have to go through. Husbands, are you getting better and better? Are you loving her more and more? as Christ loved the church. Young people who aren't married, are you ready for such things? Are you ready for such things? What a great responsibility. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 12. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church, that He may sanctify and cleanse it, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing. Notice what the Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 4. The Scripture says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. When you see a person with a crown on, what do you notice first? What do you notice first? The crown. That's what you notice first. Of course. But I tell you what. When there's a home with a virtuous woman, she is the crown of her husband. The very glory that he has is his wife. Any glory he has comes from his wife. It stems from a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman. Men, how do you want to be presented to the world? How do you want to be presented to the world? I tell you what, there's no greater way to be presented to the world than by a virtuous woman. I remember when I was young, I was told, you want a virtuous woman, you want a virtuous woman, find yourself a virtuous woman. What in the world does that mean? How do I find such a thing? Virtuous women are not found. They are made by God. And they are made in the context of marriage. When I married my wife, I do not believe I married a virtuous woman. She was made into me. That's what the Scripture says. I've been looking through these things this week, and I've been amazed at how wrong I've gotten it. God brings two people together. The Scripture says that we're not to seek a wife. We marry the one in whom God brings. And if we marry the one in whom God brings, that woman can be virtuous. But it is going to be up to the husband to help her become so. Look at what it says. Proverbs 31. How many ladies know about Proverbs 31? You may have grown up in Christian circles and going to Christian churches, and you hear, when you were young, be a virtuous woman. Be a virtuous woman. But I don't know a virtuous, a young woman's game. I think virtue comes after. Look at what it says. Verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Notice what it says. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Now, if she's got a husband, what must she be? She must be married. Right? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Turn down there to the end, towards the end, verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen. Look at what it says in verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. When does virtue come? I wonder if virtue does not come after marriage. That's when virtue comes. The Scripture says in 2 Peter, add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Why are you saying all these things, preacher? Why are you saying such things? Now, I believe a woman could live a single life and be virtuous. But when she puts herself in a marriage, husbands, are you helping with such things? Do you care for your wife that she would be a virtuous woman? Bringing glory to God and you. Husbands, what are you doing to help your wife? I praise God there is virtuous women in this room. For the hardest things in all the world is for a woman to be virtuous with a scummy husband. And I hardly have ever seen that. In fact, I could rack my brain and wonder if I've ever seen a woman of virtue whose husband was a vile, disgusting man. But every man, every husband that I've seen who's worked towards saying, I want to become like Christ. And I want to love my wife as Christ loves the church. I don't know if it's ever failed that I have not seen a woman who is virtuous. A woman who lives for the Lord and loves her husband and is a crown on his head. Husband, what are you doing? If you would look at your wife and say, there's no virtue in that woman, whose fault it is? It's probably yours. That makes sense. Ladies, I beg you to consider that. Particularly to you, we're not married yet. The scripture says, husband, seek not a wife. Ladies, as you want to be married, what kind of man do you want to marry? Is it going to be one who is seeking to become more like Christ? That he might love you like Christ? Or do those things matter a little? Does it matter more about what kind of job he has? What kind of work he does? How much he can lift over his head? How toned his body is and what he looks like on the beach? Are those the things that you care about? Or is it that the man is going to grow in Christ and become more and more what he's supposed to be? Because if you marry a man who doesn't, your chances of virtue are so slim. I do not say this to hurt you or to hurt anybody here, but I believe it's the truth. And you can see it not only in Scripture, not only can you prove it in Scripture, but you can see it over and over again in the lives of some men. Let's bow our heads and pray. We thank you for the Word of God. These things are sometimes difficult to swallow. And I know it's difficult for me. Forgive me for not being what I ought to be, but I thank you that you can make me into what you want me to be. Help me to live as you would have me to live. Help me to love my wife as you would have me to love her. Father, as we come into a new stage in my own home with a new child, help me not to revert to what I once was or worse, but to grow in the midst of trial. Father, that from these things that are going to happen in my own life, that in the end you would have more praise and honor and glory, that we would be more prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, and I beg you that you would do this in the homes of each person here. May we as husbands take a good look at our own lives and ask ourselves the question, why did I get married? And if it is base and unbiblical, if it is not, it's for the very reason that you espoused us as the church, May you change our minds and may we repent of what we have done. And may our motivation be what it should be. And may we get in on the design that you have for marriage. Please, Father, help us. For without these things, how can revival come? Please. We pray the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, ladies. I want you to know that the Lord cares for you. We love you. Every woman who puts herself under the leadership of a husband is praiseworthy. Because it's probably amongst the most difficult things in all the world to do. To say, I'm going to live obeying Him as I obey God. And I'm going to esteem Him and respect Him, even when He is not esteemed worthy or respectable. I appreciate what you're doing. Love your husbands. And grow in Christ too. Amen.